Welcome to MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui, your expert host on all things medical marketing and SEO.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of MedShark Insider. Today, I have a long time, and I mean, I've been in the digital marketing space for medical practices for the better part of 25 years, even before Google was in its beta, was out of its beta stage. One of the people I've known the longest in this space, and we actually were co-workers at a previous agency, and he's going to bring some unique perspective that we're going to talk about, mainly social media today, but also as it affects SEO and your other, I don't think anything's in a silo anymore these days. But let me go ahead and introduce our guest today, Jonathan Fashbaugh, who is the president of Pro Impressions Marketing. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Bill. It's a great time to talk with you anytime. And this is all stuff that I'm really passionate about. You'll probably have to, we'll come up with a signal where you tell me, hey, shut up for a minute so I can talk.
No. You know, the good news with this is there's no time limit, but it's more mainly, I want to make sure that our audience really gets a lot of value and a lot of information or things that they can actually do after, watching the program today, that they can actually walk away with stuff and I'm going to be doing these things. I mean, that's really the intent here is to provide value. And as long as we're continuing to add value, I will never cut you off, man.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I'm right with you there. Let's just figure out how we can help everyone who's watching. I mean, that's the kind of mission of my career in dental marketing is to be a positive presence in the dental community and form lasting relationships. And this is just totally emblematic of that, you and I connecting after 10 plus years, something like that.
Yeah.
We've been in touch in between there, but let's see what we can do to get some good information out there.
That sounds great, Jonathan. So one of the things that when I talk to practices and they're wanting us to do assessments, and you hear assessments in digital marketing all the time, we'll do an assessment. Practices don't really know when they're looking at assessing their own work. Sometimes they're a little too close to it. What is it that you look for when you're talking to a new practice or a practice that says, hey, Jonathan, take a look at my stuff. Tell me what you think. When you're looking at their social media, their Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, what is it that you're looking for? What specifically, if you can number them off, what would be the things that you want to make sure that they're addressing?
I guess, first of all, I want to just see if there's any life there, any activity whatsoever.
Surprisingly,
what profiles do they even have? Okay. When was the last time that they published anything there? I really do take kind of a holistic triage to their entire presence to just see where do they need the most help, and then if that pain point is, big enough to where it really shows that there's a severe lack of support there or mismanagement, I'm definitely going to bring that to their attention. But I want to just make sure that, above all, that it's all working together to be successful. Let's just hypothetically say that, okay, social media really is where they struggle the most. Then I'd be looking for just the uniformity of the posts, how personal they are, how much engagement they're getting. Mm-hmm. Do they have a variety of post types? There are just so many ways that social media is managed out there. You can always kind of tell a do-it-yourselfer.
Right.
If the posts just kind of are helter-skelter. But the number one positive that I look for is personal involvement. How actually social are these posts? Because there's a lot of companies out there that all they do is put out this kind of canned content and that's just not going to truly make their profiles social.
Right. Hey, you know, one of the things that you kind of mentioned was that they're actually engaged, that they're participating in this. How much, when a practice says, well, I don't know how much I should be doing, or there's always a diminishing return on investment of time that goes into any kind of, you know, marketing or any kind of work. What would you say, how much time does a practice need to devote to its social activities when it comes to social media? And maybe it's even in the form of how many posts they need to be doing, how frequent, I mean, give us some gauge. What should a practice be looking at in terms of, I need to invest more into this. What, how am I going to measure that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's a lot of great data to support strong opinions on one end or the other, especially for a dental office, because you can get, you know, like pillars of the social media kind of community like Hootsuite will give you numbers like that and advocate for posting all the time. And like, I was at a Facebook event and, you know, they were trying to get you to post multiple times a day. And I'm thinking,
wow, that's a lot.
Work for dental offices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A dental office isn't going to be able to, first of all, do that. And second of all, what patient is going to want to hear from their dentist multiple times a day, you know?
Right.
And then there's the whole reality check of what is possible in the realm of organic visibility, where you're not paying to get out there.
That's a good point.
Can you really move the needle as a dental practice to you know, break through and earn a spot in someone's newsfeed? You know, and you know, if you kind of think of the followers of people in terms of like a tree or kind of a fractal pattern going out, how far out can you really ripple organically from you, your team, your team's family, you know, your family? You might be able to reach that kind of first tier organically, but out there beyond that, where you're really trying to reach to get, you know, new patients, how far out can you really get organically? And so to me, my thought process is not very far. I mean, Facebook and Instagram especially have really done a lot to make sure that their stock goes up and that they're making money. And so, you know, that has to factor in. Having said that, I do think that Google does look at, I mean, I know that Google indexes Facebook pages. And you know, if you're doing it right, when you're putting out content, you are putting it out on multiple platforms, and Google notices that activity, and things notice it too. And so I think you're right. There is some point of diminishing returns, in terms of frequency, but it's rare that that's the problem.
Okay.
You know, most of the time, the offices are not struggling with, we've just got so much content, and we're afraid. I mean, I do hear from people saying they're afraid that they would annoy people, but I'm like, well, let's push that envelope. I would love to hear complaints, because that means someone's seeing your stuff.
Well, that's actually a good point.
I mean, it's a lot like, you know, if you study email marketing, you know, the piece that people are always so afraid of is I'm going to get unsubscribes, you know, and if you really kind of dig into it, they're almost chasing unsubscribes, because that's like, either you're going to buy from me or you're going to unsubscribe. It's highly
unlikely
that
you're
just going to sit there.
Yeah.
I don't really want you dead in the funnel. I want you moving, you know? And I think social media can be viewed in a similar light. Obviously you want a fan for life, but really you want fans who become patients, and then you develop a relationship with them from there.
Yeah. Good point. I think a lot of practices are maybe a little overcautious to the point where they miss opportunities simply because they're assuming too much. They assume too much.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they almost kind of talk themselves out of, you know, doing more or doing things or, maybe taking risks, doing a little risk taking. Mm-hmm. And I think with social media, part of it is the ones that are really getting a lot of, you know, activity, business, building a very large community, online community, digital community. They are taking some risks. They are doing some things that are, you know, kind of out of the box and, you know, stuff like that. So when it comes to the kind of posting that you're recommending, you're saying if we can get practices to do more personalized types of stuff, give me an idea of what you would say. Yeah, we can do pictures, but where does, you know, the difference say between just pictures of the staff or video production? Give us an idea of what kind of content. And I think visual content is always what's getting the most engagement, that, you know, people are engaged, you know, liking, sharing, doing all that kind of stuff with. Give us some examples as to where in the priority should practices be doing those types of things, and give us some ideas maybe what's possible in terms of those kinds of things that they haven't done already.
I think that's going to vary a little bit from one office to the next.
Okay.
And especially dependent kind of on the leadership within the office. Because if you have a younger doctor who totally gets social media and can kind of lead the charge, it's a little bit easier to make this happen in that practice.
No question.
Especially since, you know, there's the whole birds of a feather flock together phenomenon. They're going mm-hmm. to tend to hire people that are kind of like them. And so the culture of that practice is going to be much more conducive to social media activity than an older doctor who's like, my phone doesn't even have apps. It dials a number, you know, that kind of thing, where they don't understand it. They don't care about it. They're almost averse to even talking about it. They think it's kind of stupid, you know. I've had to work with doctors like that, and I'm glad to help them. But it makes it difficult because they are the leaders in their practice, and their team can pick up on whether or not it's a priority for doctor. And a doctor is going to truly appreciate the work that I put into this versus, you know, staying on top of other priorities that he says are equally important. Well, that's, you know, social media is going to fall by the wayside. So in circumstances like that, I try to give them some easy wins, some instruction that, you know, kind of spoons feed them some post ideas. And really even offer, hey, if you can just send me pictures, I don't want you to post, you just be the photographer since I can't be there. Just send me pictures. Make sure you're sending me pictures, you know, if you can once a week at least or something like that. Then we can take those and run with it to make their posts that we're generating just a little bit more human and personal. That in the end is probably enough for most practices to be successful, but they have to make those pictures a priority. Video is great, but if it's not done well, then most of the time we can't even use it. You know, if it's dark and dingy looking, if they didn't pay attention to, you know, what the background looks like, and the audio is a big problem too, if we can't even hear what they're saying. You know, it breaks my heart to tell a client, so you followed directions, you sent me something, but I can't do anything with it because I don't want them to not try again. That's just my number one thing is, we can always kind of hone in on the content of what you send me, but let's just focus initially on you sending stuff and getting into the habit of that. You know, where can we fit that in the flow of the practice to make sure that this gets done? For a while, we were calling kind of our point person in the practice their social media czar. Who's going to lead the charge? You've got to appoint one person that you are going to work with Jonathan and his team, and you're going to send them stuff when they need it, you know, and they're going to hound you, and you're going to be, getting them things. I think that works, but again, it just depends on the practice, whether or not they can commit to that, or, you know, in some cases, everyone wants to be involved, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you've got the outfielders, I got it, yeah. and no one gets it.
You know, what you kind of mentioned the practices, that really embrace this, the younger, you know, providers. I see this not only in dentistry, but plastic surgery, most medical, that we're targeting more of the elective fee-for-service types of, you know, treatments and, products, technology. And I do find that the high growth practices many times are those younger providers, simply because they're embracing this whole concept. I think it's more than just, do you do social media? It's embracing the concept of building a relationship. There was a time when it was just, you know, build it and they will come, or I'm such a good dentist that everybody knows who I am and, you know, everybody comes to me anyway. This whole deal right. of social media has kind of changed how consumers buy professional services and who they're going to buy it from. One of the things that we found when we were developing even websites, when we do heat mapping, it was almost without exception, the most clicked elements on a page many times didn't matter where the icons were. It was the social media icons. They were always one of the most clicked items on the page, even if it was down in the footer. I've seen, you know, some designs where they kind of bury it down in the footer of the page, as opposed to some of them have it very high in the banners or, you know, high on the page. Didn't matter where it was getting lots of clicks. And I got the, you know, I've always, you know, over the course of time, as I started to see more and more of that, you know, consumers are taking on a more relationship focused, they want to know who you are on a deeper level than just kind of a website, you know, in the almost sterile content. It's almost clinical content or brochure kind of content on a website. And I want to see how you live. I want to see who you are, who your people are, you know, things like that. And I think those are the kinds of things that, yes, you want to grow your social media audience, but I think it also works synergistically with the website. That audience, if they're on my website, man, that is the best audience to start developing a rapport and connection with, is the people that visit my site and are wanting to learn more about us and what happens in our practice, who we are as people, more so than as, you know, I'm a licensed dentist or a orthodontist or endodontist, whatever it is. They want to know who you are on a more personal level. So I think the content that you're talking about, I think it absolutely lends itself to that kind of, you know, building a connection. I even say even website designs today almost have to have maybe a social media kind of slant to it, because that's what we live in, a social world online today, is, you know, especially with, I mean, we're even doing Zoom today, which we never did before, hardly ever, right. You know? So I think this engagement socially, visually, I think it's, so practices that are doing a lot of this stuff and trying to help you support the social media marketing for their practice, how do they, I would say most of them are not really good about being organized. It's almost kind of a fly by the seat of your pants. It happens when it happens. Do you have any way of helping practices? What do you do to the practice that says, you know, I can only talk about this dentistry and this stuff so much? What do you do to help those kinds of practices kind of stay engaged with it?
Well, so I mentioned the social medias are, we always ask on the front end of the relationship, who's going to be in charge of this? Uh-huh. You know, who can we connect with on that? We always make sure we get an email address with them. And then we send out an email blast once a month with post ideas. They're actually the same post ideas that anyone can have access to on our website. We've got a page called the hashtag Stay Social on the website. But we email out to all of our clients that are engaging with us for social media services. And we email ideally both the doctor and then the point person in the practice, or if there's multiple people, we can send it to however many.
Right.
But the email is also just called Stay Social. And so it's got a list of post ideas for the month. And generally some of those ideas are dual purpose, not dual purpose, but like if there's a holiday coming up, you know, we went mentioned that, but if it's a holiday that might be, you know, like if it's a religious holiday and not every dentist is going to want to post something about that, we'll have a backup idea. So many times there's, you know, five or six ideas on that, list of topics. And then we also give kudos to our clients who have either followed those ideas or done something great on their own. And so we actually kind of screenshot that and do just like a one or two sentence analysis, kind of explaining what we see that they did that worked really well. So that in addition to our ideas, the dentist can see what other practices are doing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they know that because they are those young doctors that are engaged in social media themselves.
Yeah.
They're seeing what their competitors are doing. They're seeing what their kind of mentors are doing, or, you know, kind of the icons in dentistry that they like to follow, what they're doing. And that's great. Those people probably don't even need to get our emails because they have enough ideas on their own. But the idea behind the Stay Social campaign is to just take away the excuse of the blank canvas kind of, I don't know what to post. I mean, I don't have time to think about this and figure it out. We just want to kind of spoon feed them, almost a to-do list of, just follow these post ideas and you've got something going on.
Yeah.
And you know what, that's a note to the frequency too, Bill, that you asked about. I mean, those people that are clicking on the icons on the website, you know, they see all of it. It doesn't matter. And so I think it can be more impressive to the user that clicks to a dentist social profile if they see that, oh, there's always something going on here. These guys are really on top of it. And it may not be a one-to-one, oh, they do such a great job on on their social media, so they must also do a great job in dentistry. That's probably not the case. But I think they can appreciate themselves if they're at all active in social media that it kind of takes some doing to figure out what am I going to post that makes me interesting, you know? And so I think there's a subliminal impact. You know, we always also advocate sharing reviews or testimonials. And I've had practices say that someone clicked on their website, clicked to Facebook and saw a review and they came in and, you know, said, I came in because I saw the great reviews on your Facebook page. And it's a full mouth case that comes through the door. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to argue with that like not every patient is going to interact with it like that, but why not put that hook in the water?
No, I mean, you are absolutely, and I think the idea of multi-channel, how they all work together, like when you're saying the website, they go to social media, they look at reviews. And so you really can't look at, you know, even your social media, it's not in a silo. Everything has to be somewhat integrated. So even, you know, I recommend to practices, if they are doing SEO and say they're blogging, it absolutely makes a lot of sense to promote that blog content. You spent money and time to create. Google doesn't see a lot of value in that content if nobody ever sees it. So it's about promoting that content too. So including it into your newsfeed or promoting it in even some of the boosted stuff. But adding value, good content, adding value, not sales or promotional things, but really high value content kind of stuff. I think it adds a lot. And I think when you're talking about, you know, when they visit this and do they equate, you know, that they're posting and they're highly engaged with their patients, that they do good dentistry, maybe not, But what I do think is that people don't always choose their dentist based on that they feel like they're the best dentist, especially if they don't know them. If it's a non-branded or non-bonded patient coming to your practice that doesn't know you from Adam or any dentist, right. You know, I think that I call it the likability factor. It's they're going to end up doing business and choosing a dentist, or at least giving them a shot at earning the business based on how much they like you. Is there something about you or your practice or your people or your just your environment in general? Is there something about you that I like? And I think that that applies to your social media, that applies to your website, that applies to your reviews, all of those platforms. It is trying to make people like you. I think there is a lot of truth to that. I think it's a subliminal, like you said, it's very subliminal.
Yeah. And I think it also ties into, it being a relationship building. Do I feel like this person gets me as the patient too? You know, they've got to be able to see themselves in your practice and get some semblance of the impression that you understand their problem or that you care about their problem, that you've helped other people that have their problem. And so, you know, the old school style of, you know, taking pictures of the office environment to just look like it's so, you know, clean and professional, and they've got, you know, just the headshot of the doctor with all these curriculum vitae type items on there. That's definitely not going to cut it these days, because of the likability is not there. And the there's going to be some people that will be attracted to that, but I mean, kind of going back to your assessment question, I think all of these factors create kind of like a spider web. Mm-hmm. And if we picture a spider web here and we've got a fly that's caught right here, you know, you'd be tempted to say, well, these strands are pulling their weight, the rest of these aren't doing anything. Well, if you don't have the rest of these strands, you don't have a web, you're not catching anything.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's the challenge in marketing, is to help the doctor understand that all of these strands are necessary, and need to be tended to, in order to make sure that we've got a good system, that's going to capture the people that do maybe appreciate what your office looks like inside, or really do care about your authority and expertise based on what you've done in your career, maybe really like before and after photos, or, you know, really love that your website loaded quickly on their phone. I mean, all of these things pull together, and social media is definitely important because it connects a lot of those pieces. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's really hard to get the doctor to understand that and then invest in all of that. But, you know, social media, I think, has the advantage of being also a little more accessible, and it can get some team buy-in too, because it's more visible, and there's more appreciation for kind of the tangible or deliverable aspect of it, where it's like, look what we did, you know?
Right. No, and, you know, the other thing that I think practices overlook is the spirit of social media. It's not advertising. A lot of practices look at social media, oh, I need to get leads from this. I need to get, you know, traffic. I need to get all these measurements that we always equate to advertising and marketing. Where I think the practices that are highly successful integrate more than just, ooh, I just want to get more consumers. I just want more consumers. I think they overlook one of the biggest audiences, a professional audience, getting their colleagues, getting their other dental friends. And I think the dental community is very unique compared to, say, the plastic surgeon or some of these other medical specialties. I generally tend to say they're more competitive in that sense. I think they're a bunch of mavericks out there, and all it's about eat what you kill kind of stuff. dental, in fact, I kind of mentioned to you, there's a group out in Seattle, the Seattle Study Club. Mm-hmm. Mike Gergen kind of turned me on to it. Great, great resource that helps practices develop their own local study clubs and study groups amongst other dentists in the marketplace. And that's unique amongst most, you know, professional services. You don't have a study club of plastic surgeons getting together on how to do better business or how to treat or how to deal with certain business issues. They're kind of on their own. Dentists are unique in the sense that they do kind of, it's a collaborative spirit. And I think leveraging those relationships too, because who would, you know, check out stuff on a dental website or a dental social media or dental blogs, dental content? It's other dentists, you know, and those are great signals to, you know, for engagement, whether it's Google, whether it's your Facebook audience, to see that you are an authority. You use the word authority. And absolutely, you need to be also engaging with your professional audience as well. I think that's one of the most overlooked areas that practices. Oh, I just want to get patients and consumers. I think they overlook really kind of the authority thing that you're talking about. How does authority, when you're saying, you know, build your authority, I always hear that, you know, social media has no impact or it does impact your SEO results. A lot of practices started doing social media simply because they were told by their SEO company that it helps, you know. What's your take on, does it help? How does it help? Does it not help? What's your take on that?
I think it's obviously been a moving target from the beginning. Because, mm-hmm. I was definitely one of those people who encouraged a lot of dentists to start involving themselves in social media, because we started to realize that Google was paying attention to what was on those pages. And of course, they're never going to completely show their hand. But I think it goes to just what does a highly successful expert in any field have? They typically have a following, mm-hmm. you know, and they've got something to say. Google wants to show the very best services out there in their results, mm-hmm. period. And so the very best, I think you just always kind of think about, well, what were they going to be likely to do? And how can I do the same thing? Because hopefully the doctors watching this believe that they're the best in their area anyway, you know? And if you're not, go after that first and foremost, you know, become the best in your area, because that's what Google wants. You know, right. Google doesn't want someone who's just kind of coasting. Mm-hmm. And that's tough, because I want to help every dentist out there that I can. But if you're really struggling as a professional and people don't like you and you've got lawsuits against you and negative reviews left, right, and center, I'm sorry, but these days there's very little I can do to help you. You know, yeah. I mean, we can buy ads, but even those, I really feel like Google's doing a lot. You know, they had this algorithm update called BERT, where they're really trying to push the envelope of their artificial intelligence and language processing to kind of understand offline what mm-hmm. people think about you. And so, I mean, when it comes to how does social media influence your, you know, visibility overall, I think it's an opportunity to showcase that you have a lot to offer and a lot of people like what you have to say. Mm-hmm. You know, and I guess that also kind of adds some value to some of the posts that maybe our dentists might think of as kind of canned, where it's, you know, like, did you know X percentage of people have oral cancer, and if caught early, can be treated easily, or something like that. Right. I'm just off the top of my head. Someone might say, well, that's not very personal. That's not social, you know. But I think the cool thing about that is it's informing your followers, but it's also putting something in your feed that your other dentist professionals, like you're saying, can easily click that share button and put out into their feeds, mm-hmm. which probably isn't going to directly get you patients. But Facebook and Google just saw that someone else who's an expert in your field shared your content. That, you know, you're not going to get a lot of those, but those are nice little wins that, you know, you're not going to pick up if you're not putting out that kind of content.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is tough though, because it's hard to quantify, you know, there is no metric that we can really point to of, you know, Google Authority Index or something where you've right. got a number that you can tie to it.
Right.
You just really have to put your best foot forward out there and kind of not be afraid of going out there and telling that story, because there's very few people who are going to do it for you.
Well, I think, you know, you're right. There is no actual measurement in terms of how much, you know, ranking, you know, domain authority that adds to your, you know, when you do those types of things. But I think the takeaway as it relates to your social media is, number one, Google is looking more at user signals. User signals is becoming a bigger and bigger yeah. part of its algorithm. And user signals, let's face it, your user signals are usually better with people that know you, have a relationship with you, and, you know, have some level of trust in you. So your user signals are usually stronger with that audience and building up that audience. And then it's also, you know, we've heard in SEO that Google loves brands. Google loves brands. Okay. And I think a quote branded audience, I think that's important. A lot of people think of brands as being, oh, I've got to be McDonald's or Nike, or, you know, those are very recognizable consumer brands, but you can be very niche in your brand too. Niche branding is real, you know. For example, I use, as you know, I'm a big golfer and fisherman. I love that kind of stuff. But when I talk to my wife and I mention, you know, Srixon or something, she has no idea what that is. But to a golfer and that golfing audience, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Or if I talk about, you know, this particular driver or this particular thing, those branded products, they are very recognizable to the right audience. So it's also building a brand to a niche audience, not necessarily to the general consumers. Start looking at brands as being your community, branding yourself to a local audience, to people that have interest in what you do, and building a relationship with you. I think that, yeah, there's no metric or some software that measures the value of that in terms of your SEO. But I think philosophically speaking, we know those things impact results. We know that Google's looking for those kinds of things, especially when it comes to professional service providers that Google puts extra responsibility on to become an expert, an authority, and to be trustworthy, the eat, you know, your money, your life kind of, you know, yep. responsibilities for dental or medical providers. I mean, so you really have to be, like you're saying, you got to be a better dentist. You got to be a better surgeon. You know, hate to say it, but that's what Google's wanting.
Yep. Yeah. And be willing to put yourself out there. Because I also know a lot of dentists that are just phenomenal dentists, but personality wise, they're yeah. not ones who are going to run out and try to get in front of a news camera. You know, they're just like, I pride myself in the quality of service and my patients love me. And I'm like, uh-huh. that is fantastic. I'm not sure how well I can help you grow that, you know, just because, you know, if we can't get some buzz about you, you yeah. know, then really what's left to us are our ads, you know, the organic visibility of any website right now is so volatile, that, you know, we know what to do from an SEO standpoint. And that's just make it stupid simple for Google to find and understand all the quality content you have on your website. And by the way, make sure your website is all quality content. There is no magic bullet anymore from an SEO standpoint. It's, and from there, it's what do other people think about you, you know? We've got to help our clients get the word out about how fantastic they are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they definitely have to be willing to drink the water once we lead them to it.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think just offering them tools like the Stay Social tools helps them feel like this is not a, you know, an overwhelming task, or they're, you know, they're czars in the practice, right, that it's not an overwhelming task. You know, one of the things that I do encourage practices to do to kind of, it makes it fun is, and to be more creative, is there are, you know, resources online. And it's as simple as Pinterest. You know, there are Pinterest pages. A good one would be like Pinterest.com. It's, I think it's called Social Practice. And they've got, and it's a dental related Pinterest page, and they've got, you know, images and ideas, graphics, just creative, and it's endless, just tons of different stuff that they can go, ooh, we do that. We should do something like, you know, but because it makes it very visual. Pinterest, I think, is a great tool to kind of stimulate ideas. And they actually, I think in Social Practice, they actually have a section that is just for dentists. And that is where I would, you know, maybe direct practices, but I think you can even just Google it. Google's great about indexing lots of stuff. But just finding things to make this more fun, to be more creative, and not necessarily, you know, always have to be, you know, we're a dental practice, you know, we're a medical practice. People are looking for a little more fun.
Oh, sports teams, you know, showing your athletic pride. I think it's great engagement. Birthdays. I mean, not all posts all your posts should not be ads, you know. I mean, they definitely need to show the human side. One thing that I thought about just now, though, is, you know, in terms of predictability, making sure that it happens, you know, I would highly advocate putting social media in the stand-up meetings that most of the most successful offices I know have at least a weekly, if not a daily meeting, where they stand up and say, okay, this is what we've got going on.
Yeah.
So line item in there, social media and reviews.
Oh, that's talking a great idea.
What you've got going on. So who's going to put a social post out there this week, you know, or you're even reviewing, hey, we did this social post and this is how many likes we got, or this is what, you know, Annie did on social media. Doesn't this look great? To just make it a part of the process for the practice.
I love that concept, because it kind of uses peer pressure to some degree to start thinking. If you know that in our morning huddle, doctor's going to be asking, or practice, you know, manager is going to be asking, who's got ideas, who's going to be doing this, or who's got another good idea. Well, we all know that staff want to, you know, they want to make an impact. They want to be the one, the go-to person that has all the creative ideas. And putting that out there where, you know, they know, so they're looking around the practice. They're seeing things that they never would have showed up on their radar. Now they're going, ooh, that would make for a good post, or that would be a great idea. It's just kind of getting that mental thought, but unless there's some consistency in that they're being held somewhat accountable for identifying those opportunities, I think that's a great idea.
It forms a mental habit of looking for those opportunities too. So, I mean, the first few times could be a little difficult, but you know, those difficult things are where the money is, man. I mean, you got to push through that and dig in. And then all of a sudden, this is just how we do things, you know, and it happens. And, you know, that's where you win in the long run.
Yeah. And then you're going to get more eyeballs and more people's heads around this, as opposed to just your one czar that, oh, that's their responsibility. No, it's everybody's. It's getting the whole practice involved with this and holding them accountable to sharing what it is that they're doing, you know, their practice with the rest of the world. It's not just one person's responsibility. It's all of ours.
Yeah. You got one team member pulling the other one in and saying, I don't know how to do this, but we got to get a picture of this, this situation happening here. Cause this will work great for social media, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think
that collaboration is possible.
I think that kind of stuff is where the practices that really kind of shoot through the top, they have a team that does that. It's not just, you know, their social media, you know, agency or even a really good czar. It's having a more collaborative spirit. And how do you cultivate that in a, you know, in a practice?
And rewarding it as the doctor too, you know,
that's
just going to help, because if I'm, you know, the main assistant, I know we're kind of short on time here, but if I'm the main assistant and, I'm being told by the doctor that I have these three priorities. Oh, and also make my social media happen. I hate to beat that dead horse, but I've heard that again and again from the team. Doctor tells me that I'm supposed to do this, but I've got five other fires to put out. And the attitude is that kind of a resentment of having this other thing on the plate. So the doctor, I think by, you know, putting in the huddle, you're also making room for it to a certain extent to say, okay, this is time we're devoting to talking about this, and we are going to measure it, and therefore probably, you know, it's going to factor into maybe not direct compensation, but this is how we win.
Yeah, I think that's great. Well, Jonathan, great ideas, great stuff. love having conversations with you. There's never a time where I don't walk away with something. There's always something new, and I always love that about you. but why don't you do me a favor and just kind of, for the people that are watching, if there's an interest in looking at the Stay Social or other things, how can they get a hold of you?
So proimpressionsgroup.com is the website. On there, under the What We Do categories, that's where you can find the Stay Social page. And then, you know, if they need help beyond that, you can schedule a consultation right on there. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be the easiest thing for anyone to remember. Proimpressionsgroup.com.
Super. Hey, Jonathan, thank you again for all your time today and sharing all these great ideas. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks.
Okay. Take care, my friend.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for the MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui. Join us next week for another dive into all things medical marketing. All episodes can be streamed at www.medsharkdigital.com/medshark-insider.